is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries, welcoming you to The Next Step with Father Voskin. We thank you for downloading or picking up a CD copy of this audio broadcast. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course, the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient orthodoxy. So, we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, this is Father Voskin, priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, episode number 248, right in the middle of Lent, Lent 2013. Enough numbers for you? Well, let me tell you what this is about. This is a podcast about life and love, about spirituality, about looking at life through the lens of ancient Armenian Orthodoxy, polished up for today. We call this Polished Look Armedoxy. We're inviting you to take a step with us right now. This podcast is being brought to you on epostle.net, apostolic evangelism for an electronic universe. Hey, let's take the next step. Right smack dab in the middle of Lent. Actually, yesterday in the Armenian church was called Michink. And that word Michink means the middle point. The middle point. Now, if you do the calculations, you're going to say, now, wait a minute. How come it's day number 24 on your Lenten journey? So that's not half of 40. And isn't Lent supposed to be 40? Okay. So let's do some number crunching right now. There are 40 days in Lent, beginning from the day after the day of good living, Pun Bare Gentan. So the first day of Lent is that Monday, not Ash Wednesday, but that Monday right after the Pun Bare Gentan. Or if you're so inclined to go with the ways of the West, it would be 2 days before Ash Wednesday. All right, now do the calculations, 40 days, and you don't come up to Easter. The 40 days comes up to, well, a couple days before Palm Sunday. And actually, it is the day before Palm Sunday that the curtains open in the Armenian church. For 40 days, the curtains have been closed, and it opens up with the commemoration. I was going to say celebration. It should be celebration, commemoration, the remembrance of the raising of Lazarus. As we know through Holy Scripture, before Jesus goes into the holy city of Jerusalem, he takes this little detour through Bethany, and there he raises Lazarus from the dead. And the Armenian church commemorates that the day before Palm Sunday. And we see that Lent is officially over on that day. And Palm Sunday is a day of celebration, Jesus entering into Jerusalem. Now, because there is the fast for Holy Week, sometimes you get just thrown into this whole big bunch, and you have one giant fast, which begins on the day after Pun Bare Gentan, again, 2 days before Ash Wednesday, and goes all the way to Easter. So if you do that calculation, you're up to about 49 days. 49 days, you're right at the half point. Yesterday was day 24. Today's day 25. You could see, you know, like, okay, since we don't have the half days, right now as I'm talking to you is the midpoint between that day of the first day of Lent and Easter Sunday. Okay, so here we are, halfway through it. Where are you at? What are you doing? How are you feeling? Well, one thing I got to tell you, if you've been following the Lenten journey, if you've been doing what the church prescribes, first of all, you should be feeling great because you've got all the toxins out of your system. Your heavy doses of the old vitamin C and vitamin D coming in from the sun, sure. But check this out, heavy doses of God's love, because you're filled with the power. You've been praying extra. And by extra, I don't mean just those extra words. You've been understanding what that prayer is about. It's not just a conversation upward with God, but a conversation with the self, the meditative process. Okay, you've been doing it. This is where you should be. You've been doing Lent. You should have all the toxins out of your system. Because some wise individual once told me that science tells us it takes 21 days to rid yourself of a habit. And I guess so. You know, like if you're a smoker, it takes exactly 21 days to go through that cold turkey process. And then at that point, of course, you still have the cravings, but they're manageable. you've gotten over the habits. So if you're doing the Lenten journey, in other words, the physical, the spiritual, the emotional part, okay, physically, you're on this special diet, no animal products, nothing that comes from animal. Well, guess what? All of a sudden, you've rid yourself of half of the toxins that are out there, and your system is clean. You're not eating meats that have been injected with penicillin, tetracycline, all the antibiotics. They're out of your system. The toxins are gone. You're feeling good. Okay, you're starting to see things clearly. You're not seeing those little white rabbits come out of your buttonholes. You're saying, wow, this is a beautiful life. And in adjusting yourself, you're starting to see the bigger issues there. It's not about diet. It's not about what goes into your system, but what comes out of your system. In other words, you're able to deal with people better. Your prayer life should be heightened. You realize that you have an obligation. You have a responsibility to the world, not only to yourself, not only to make it. You start trading in your Costco cards for cards that say, I love you. I care about you. I'm giving to you. Okay, these are all figurative speeches over here. You know what I'm talking about. Hopefully you are at that point right now. We are in the third or fourth week of Lent, right at the midpoint, and I hope it's been a good journey so far. Got a promise to you. Stay on the journey, and by the time you get to Easter, it's going to be great. It is going to be great. When you say Christ is resurrected, that's going to have a very special meaning to you. But only if you make it have meaning. Like anything good in life, you need to put something into it. You need to interact with it. And I know this isn't a popular stance to say that you are responsible. You need to take responsibility. But that's it. You know, there's nobody else who's going to do it. You need to be able to take control of your life. You need to be able to be accountable for your life and say that this is my life. This is what God has given me. This is what I'm doing with it. Now, the reason I say that it's not a popular way to go, because if you're accountable for your life, you can't blame anybody else for it. Yeah, that's the problem, isn't it? Yeah, it's so much easier to blame somebody else. You know, when you're kids, you know, you say, the devil made me do it. And you say, like, oh, it wasn't me, it was my friend did it. But how about when you get older, then you look around, what are you supposed to do? Who are you going to blame? Well, you can't blame anybody else. It's your life. Yeah, you can look at all the factors, you can look at all the influences, but eventually it's you against yourself. You're out there. But when you realize that God's power is with you, what are you saying? You're saying that ultimate power of the universe is with me. That power, of course, is love. Now, you've heard me talk about this power of love. You've heard me talk about how awesome it is that we need to rewire our system so that we understand that God is not just this guy playing chess up there and we're the pawns in the big chess game of life, but rather God is love. So what does that mean? And I had an interesting conversation with Vahe yesterday. We were driving around and I said, you know, love is universal. And he says, well, I need to think about that. Well, yeah. It does sound weird. It does sound very flowery. You know, like, what does that mean? That the universe is love. Well, guess what? Guess what? Just a couple days ago, I ran into this podcast. Yes, I know. You listen to my podcast. I listen to other podcasts. And I'm going to share this one with you, too. It was so fascinating. It was one of those aha moments, okay? I was listening to a podcast on NPR, American Public Media, excuse me. And it was by Krista Tippett. It is on exoplanets and love. And she was interviewing a scientist named Natalie Batalha. And I will put a link on today's show notes. Definitely do check out this podcast. But the scientist, what she's noted for is that she has found the first rocky planet that has been outside of our solar system. And she brings it down to, well, there's all this matter out there, and she brings it down to the force of love. Ah! I said, okay, here we go. This is next step. This is what we've been talking about. Now, Jesus brought this up many, 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 many centuries ago when he said, look around you and you see that God is within you and without you. That's all inclusive, folks. That is universe. That is love. Now, we're going to be exploring this. I'm going to put a link on today's notes so you could check that out, and we'll be talking about that in the coming weeks because I found this very, very fascinating. Today, in today's show, we're going to talk to a lovely lady who does really an act of love every single day of her life. Her name is Gala, and she is from Artsakh. This is a small little area right outside of Armenia. It is a country, but it is not recognized on an international table. And that's a whole nother story in itself. This is, of course, Artsakh, the Armenian name for Karabakh. And you've heard it. You haven't heard it. We'll definitely put some links on our show notes today so you could at least brief yourself on the political dimensions of the country. But more importantly is what Gala does over there. And she is with the Halo Trust. And they clear landmines. And I'm going to make some comments afterwards because I found the work that they're doing is so fascinating and really a wake-up call to all of us that when we talk about, I mean, you know that one of the staple topics here on The Next Step is how do we bring about peace in the world? Is that just some kind of abstract idea that we throw out and we say, oh, I wish that there is peace in the world? Or do we actually participate, take responsibility to give our lives, to work for justice, to find that peace in the world? And you know that we've talked many, many times about that, but there's some other thoughts that I want to share with you today, and that'll be coming up in just a few minutes. We have Anish with her pomegranate seeds, but before we do that, every week we start off with a song of the day. So before we get rid of winter over here, and we're going to do one more shot at the rain, okay? We've got one more week of winter, right? Okay, so let's remember the rain. Here is Datevik doing on Srevyegov, Rain Has Come. Enjoy. Do Not too many people that could do that. That is Datevig, and the song is on Srevyegov, The Rain Has Come. I hope you enjoyed it. I certainly did. A one-of-a-kind voice. One-of-a-kind talent, I should say. That is really something. You try to do that. Beautiful, beautiful music. And I encourage you to check out all of the music that we put on The Next Step and encourage the musicians that bring so much beauty to our world. We will put a link on our show note, not only to this song, but all of the wonderful music that Datevig produces. Well, as promised, we have a guest with us today in the studio is Gala Danilova. She is with the Halo Trust. And what this organization does is they go around the world clearing landmines. Yes, landmines that have been left there from war. Well, she comes from an area called Artsakh, which was hit by war over 20 years ago, two decades ago, and still there are landmines, and they are still exploding unexpectedly to people who are wandering around playing. And they look like little balls, and little kids unfortunately get in between them. Let me switch mics right now and share with you some thoughts with Gala Danilova. I'm so excited today in the studio we have Gala Danilova. I'm so glad you're with us today. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I'm very glad to be with you today.
Well, it's just such a beautiful day, and last night it was so great to hear you. You gave us a little introduction of what's going on. But our listeners worldwide, people listening in, I want them to know, what are you doing here? What's going on? And you're from the Halo Trust. It sounds religious, Halo, but tell us a little about what you're all about.
Yeah, it's somehow, it doesn't connect it with to the religion, but it's a belief there in the work which Halo Trust is doing around the world. So Halo Trust is a non-for-profit humanitarian organization which is doing mine clearance around the world in 13 countries, and in that chain in Nagorno-Karabakh as well, in Artsakh.
So you are from Artsakh?
I'm from Artsakh. I live in Stepanakert.
Wow.
Wow. I'm so proud of that. Yeah. And I work with Halo almost 10 years, since 2002. Mm. And the Halo Trust is working in Nagorno-Karabakh since 2000, and we do mine clearance there.
Mm-hmm. Now, of course, I'm letting on as if I don't know you, just so you could talk a little bit. But of course, we had the pleasure of meeting each other about 4 or 5 years ago when you were here on an earlier trip. And what impressed me at that time was just, this is something that people don't think about. There's wars, and then afterwards, all of these mines are there, and nobody's really thinking about what to do. So at that time, you told us that there was clearance. What's happened in the last 4 or 5 years? What's the situation right now, Nagorno-Karabakh? Is there a lot of mines? Is there unexploded bombs? What is the story?
Yeah, the situation since 2008, since my last visit here, changed a lot because we continue to do mine clearance, and we hope to continue that next year as well with the donor, and our main donor is USAID, and thanks to them and generosity of American people through that, we are able to clear minefields now in Karabakh, and we mostly with this sponsor, with this donor, we can clear within the traditional borders of Soviet Nagorno-Karabakh Oblast. But we cannot clear the mines which are outside of that borders, i.e. on the liberated areas, which are now the part of Nagorno-Karabakh Republic. And as such, that area still remains to be cleared and still poses a danger to population. So we've done a lot. We hope we can continue, and probably with the donation which we receive right now from USAID, we'll be able to complete the mine clearance within the traditional borders of Nagorno-Karabakh in the next 5-6 years. but with liberated areas, we're struggling to bring funds because none of the government can join us and help us with that because of the political situation.
Mm.
And we're basically looking for private donation, and I'm here to speak to the people and explain that the situation is really bad because people on that liberated areas want to leave, and people moving there, even from Syria, there are a lot of Armenians coming and start to live in Lachin region.
You mean from after the war in Syria?
Exactly.
They're being, okay.
Exactly. A lot of people are moving there and start to live in Kashatakh region, ex-Lachin.
Mm-hmm.
And there are mines there, not in areas that they start to live, but not far.
Mm-hmm.
And that has to be cleared, but we don't have funds for that.
You were telling me a little bit earlier today we were talking, and you mentioned that a few people were involved in mine accidents. And
exactly.
These are things that people don't hear about. You know, you don't hear about this news. But why don't you share some of those? I was really shocked at the number.
Yeah, and that's a shock for us as well. And I mean, that's really a shock because it's more than 20 years passed after the war.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone around think that after the ceasefire, that's it. We've done and dusted with war and nothing else happened. People are not dying.
Yes.
But unfortunately, the war have left a legacy. And there are mines and bombs around. And if they're not cleared in these 20 years, they stay armed and they pose a danger. Last year, we had 5 accidents with bombs and mines, different types of mines. And in that accidents were involved 6 people, all of them injured.
Wow.
Unfortunately, none of them died. But the last accident was just in November 2012. And that happened in Lachin area. And there were Armenian residents moving across the border to collect the wood from the forest.
Mm-hmm.
And their truck just blown up on anti-tank mine.
Wow.
Unfortunately, nothing happened with them, nothing major. But again, people and accidents, it's just happened everywhere and every day, like during the year time. And I have to mention that in 2012, Nagorno-Karabakh had the highest per capita accident rate in the world.
Of landmines and bombs.
Of landmines and bombs accident rate. And that's then even more than in Afghanistan and Cambodia.
That's hard to believe. So you're talking about an area that was hit by a war 20 years ago. I want to just bring it down to the basics. And and 20 years later, there's still bombs that are blowing up people.
Exactly. And they will stay armed and will cause this danger other 20 years if we not clear them.
Well, you know what? In a few minutes, I want to get to a little bit more about the causes, but let's continue about some of the more of the statistics and everything. So basically what HALO does is goes in there, has a team of people. And how many people? Are we talking about like one man with a truck? Or when they come in to do clearing, is it a big force of people? Who comes in?
Well, actually now HALO Nagorno-Karabakh has 136 people, employees working, and they all are locals. Karabakhi peoples, and they're run by one expatriate who is from England, from headquarters.
Mm-hmm.
So they all are Karabakhi people, and the team consists of 8 people, 8 miners equipped with a special equipment, which we call detectors, that's metal detectors. And we have a plan which area has to be cleared during the year. And basically the team moves there, deploys to the area and stay on a remote location for the whole week, going to the field and back every day.
Wow.
And they do clearance. And we use so-called procedure, one man, one lane. So one man has a lane in which he clears with his detector. Average, one demine is clearing from 20 to 25 meters a day.
Wow. That is really, these numbers are just, so actually 160 employees are just there to deal with this kind
exactly,
of
situation. Exactly, exactly.
Okay.
It's not a big amount. Well, you think that it sounds like a big amount, but if it comes to the ground, the process of mine clearance.
I understand it's probably, you need a lot more. You're talking about a country, but what I'm surprised at is that this really exists because you don't hear about this.
Yeah.
This is a non-issue, basically. Nobody talks about it. And I would imagine people would say, well, why don't you just, you know, put up a sign and say, no trespassing wherever there's things. I mean, that would be an easy way of getting around it. And yet that's in the land. It's just hard to believe that there's this kind of issue going on right now.
Yeah, but there is an issue, and still the problem is there. We put signs, we have a special program which we call Minor Risk Education, and we educate people how to be away from this danger, how to recognize the potential danger areas, and if you see the sign or meet a mine, what is the safe behavior rules.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, people are forced to live and deal with land because the country is an agricultural, and everything you can do is somehow connected with farming or with some other activities like wood collecting or herbs collecting. People just have to do something to survive, and even mice are not stopping them from that.
Yeah.
Such is life.
Gala, for our listeners, we'll put links to the Halo Trust so you can do learn more about it. And Gala is going to be here in the United States for the next couple of weeks, and she'll be giving a few sessions, one of which will be at our church, where we'll try to stream that so our listeners can at least see some of the visuals that you have. But can we move a little bit? I want to talk a little bit about you, because you, as much as the work that you're doing is fascinating, you're a fascinating individual that you would think that from Karabakh, with mines and everything, that they would probably get some kind of an industrial man who would go and do it. And yet here you are, a young lady, and you've been doing this for the last 10 years. How did you get involved in this? And how? It's fascinating for me, because you're not the typical Karabakhi mind clearer, okay?
Yeah, I'm supposed to be in the kitchen cooking.
You're saying it. It's not me, but no, I'm very surprised, because in a place that's so gender specific as far as roles and everything, and here you are doing this incredible work. Tell me a little bit about yourself.
Well, thank you very much for appreciating the work I'm doing. Well, I'm actually not a deminer. And I'm not clearing the mines myself.
No, I understand. Yeah. But still, I mean, to taking on a project like this.
Yeah, I get involved with Halo in 2002. But previously, I was working for the rescue service back to my country in Stepanakert. And I always had an idea to do something, I wouldn't say special, but something which will help people around to live better life. Because I went through the war, which was in Karabakh, and I was there all the time, so I've seen everything which happened. I was a witness. It was hard to not to lose an aim in your life after that.
Mm.
And it was very important to put the right aims for a future. And being a child, I just understood that it's very important to do something useful. And for me, it was to bring something special to people. For example, I used to work on a radio station as a DJ, and I thought it's great because I'm bringing fun. I'm giving a fun and a good mood to the people. They're just listening that in the car, and they say, wow, it's great. She has a good mood. We have a good mood.
No, I was kind of thinking about that, because the way you talk into the microphone, it's obvious you've done this before.
Before for a couple of years, and that was a great fun.
So this is like Radio Karabakh, or what is this?
That was actually the first radio station, used radio station after the war.
Okay.
And I was a student at the time, and one of my friends said, look, why don't you try yourself there, because you can communicate, it's easy, and maybe you can do something there. So I went there, and they took me, because I can talk very fast, I think. So they took me there in the radio station, and I started to work, and it was great fun, because everyone around in town and the regions were listening to you, and you could share the information, the thoughts, your mood. You can give your mood through the speakers, and that's incredible.
Yeah,
I could make someone happy in the morning just by listening to the radio, and a nice voice coming out there and say, wow, we have a great weather today, what a nice day. I tell you the story about the time when I was working in the radio station. I had a lot of guys giving call to the studio. I was just asking for dating.
Mm-hmm.
And I was asking, hey, guys, you don't know me. You're asking someone for a date because you've never seen the person. You never seen if you
just
like it.
Just based on your voice, huh?
Just based on my voice, yeah. They was like, no, but we like your voice. So we'd like to meet you. And I was like, okay, so how you will recognize that that's me if you hear only my voice? They said, well, no, we imagine you're tall, blonde, with blue eyes, girl. And I was like, okay, come and meet me next to the radio studio. And then I was going out after work, and I could see the guy standing with the flowers. And I was just passing by. And he doesn't watch me, and he doesn't look at me at all, because he was expecting to see the blonde coming up. You see, and this is what a voice makes.
Yeah.
It makes you concentrate and picturing, and your imagination works. And
imagination.
And when your imagination works, you start to think and see the world differently.
Absolutely.
So then I joined the rescue service, and I was not rescuing people, but I thought maybe within this organization I can do something helpful.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I was sitting next to the computer. It wasn't very challenging job.
It wasn't hands-on, probably.
Yeah,
right?
But I was with them. So
yeah,
I was kind of satisfied that I'm in rescue service, so probably I'll do something.
Mm-hmm.
And then Hello was cooperating with rescue service on mind clearance and call outs if people were finding something. And then I learned about Hello, and they said, well, we need a person who can deal with maps. Would you like to come and help us for a month? And I said, yeah, I would love to. I had a good experience as well. So I went there and I stayed there for another 10 years.
So Hello's been around for quite a long time, right?
They've been since 2000.
Okay. Wow.
And yeah, I joined and I'm still there and I don't want to leave it until the Nagorno-Karabakh will be out of mines.
Well, that's very noble. And is that, I would imagine that being in a place like Nagorno-Karabakh, which is still politically has its, I want to be sensitive because I know you're from there, but I would imagine people would say, well, why should we help if one day that land might be not ours anymore, or might be gone? Do you run into this kind of prejudice? Is there this kind of prejudice, or is everybody that you're working with on the same page? What are some of the challenges that you're dealing with?
Well, we're not questioning that at all.
Okay.
We are just doing humanitarian job.
I wouldn't imagine you would question,
yeah,
but I would imagine from the out, because we see it here in the diaspora. We hear always talk about, like, well, where does it, who's going to get it, what's going to happen, and there's this question mark over it.
Yeah. And thank you for asking. It's actually really important, and I would like to speak through this opportunity to diaspora and just explain that we always had a question with Armenian nation. We always were challenging a lot of problems. We always were trying to keep our homeland safety, and we always want, as a nation, we always want to be together. Now Artsakh is free, some kind of, not recognized, but free. And people live there and continue to live and move and start live on areas which were not used before. And a lot of projects go around. Diaspora is helping Armenia and Karabakh for reconstruction and for infrastructure, for a lot of things.
Right.
Whatever you do now, you do for your Armenians, for the same Armenians like you are.
Mm-hmm.
We're not questioning when we put the water project there and bring the water to people, the clean water to drink, because we have to do that and people have to live. And it's a lot of such kind of things which goes around, and a lot of projects which was done. I mean, roads, schools, water project, and everything is done on that areas. And we were not questioning that because there are our Armenians living there, as well as the mines has to be removed from that area. This is the area we're using, and people suffer from that. We have to help, and this is all about humanitarian. This is not about politics. Mines, schools, roads, water, nothing to be done with politics.
Okay, let me then challenge you. You live there and then you're doing this humanitarian activity. How do you separate the humanitarian from the political reality that is there? I mean, I understand what you're saying. You've got to help and everything, but there is a basic politics that you're bordering on, you know, you're bordering with basic, let's call them hostile people, okay?
Yep.
And there are some political realities that you can't escape. How do you deal with that personally? How do you deal with, where does humanitarian begin, or does it? Maybe it's all mixed in there. I don't know. How do you deal with the politics and the humanitarian?
The thing is, here, you have to go within your heart. And if you see the problem, you have to deal with that. So people around the world probably not clearly understand what Karabakh is today,
mm-hmm.
how it looks like, and
yeah.
what is the problem there. It's another country in the world which lives a usual life, but its usual life, it's not a bit, not usual as everyone's life. Because first of all, it's a country which is not recognized.
Mm-hmm.
And second, this is a country which has to rebuild after the war. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of things which has to be renovated, rebuilt, rehabilitated after the war. And it's not only about the infrastructure, and it's not only about the schools and roads and other things. It's also about the people. People have to start to live the life they were living previously, before the war.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, safe life, good life, joy life. And the humanitarian, for me, so I'm talking just on my behalf. For me, it's like when you see someone who suffer, you have to help. And it doesn't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
The cost doesn't really matter because you're helping someone. Being in mine clearance, I've seen so many people injured from mines and bombs. For me personally, it doesn't really matter where this person lives.
Mm.
If that mines are on liberated area, that mines are on traditional area, is that people from Lachin or that people, someone is from Stepanakert, it doesn't really matter. It's just about help. You just have to follow to your heart. And if you see the problem, you have to deal with that.
Well, your humanitarian attitude is certainly commendable. It's actually awe-inspiring. But you were saying a few minutes ago that you had done some radio and everything. And that comes through really in you're saying that you bring that joy, that happiness. And
yep.
That's all connected with this humanitarian.
Yeah, exactly. Right? I was a part of that. I started from that.
Yeah, it's a beautiful talent that you have. So, you know, here on this show, what we do is we talk about a lot about God's gifts that are given to us. And certainly you have a gift to be able to communicate and to brighten up. Tell, what does it feel like?
Yeah, I think everyone has a gift.
Mm-hmm. No question.
I think everyone, well, really, I think everyone has a gift in this life. It's just about if you find the opportunity to share that, or if you're able to see that inside of you and then share with others.
Mm-hmm.
That's just what you have to figure out. But yeah, I was lucky, and I can feel that there is something which I can share.
Mm-hmm.
And I was working in the radio station, and I could feel that I can share that joy and happiness during a day with the people who are listening to me. And what I also like about the radio, and even now we're recording, people will not see us. I don't like TV. It's because a picture is taking all your concentration.
Hmm.
And you were just staring on a picture, and the voices just go on the background. While on the radio, you can hear the voice, there is no picture. Then a whole your soul and imagination is working to understand who is talking and about what.
I like that. That's true. You know what? That's why we use this medium. It's like it stimulates imagination.
Yeah, and I could feel that when I was working in the radio station, and I was happy when people were getting happier every morning, but just by listening to the radio station,
mm-hmm.
just
mm-hmm.
by listening to your voice. I had a lot of friends which say, look, when you were coming out on the air, we were just, wow, she's back. Now the mood is coming. And you see, even if you're sad, and you can share that, and this is amazing. I don't think it's a technology or it's a gift. Yeah. Is it a technology which brings your voice to other people? But it's not only about that. People are listening.
The technology is just, if it's not the computer, it's a string in a can. That's
exactly.
Just means it's who's on the other end, yeah.
But the good thing about that, whoever is listening right now, us, they just start to use their imagination to imagine, wow, what's going on in Karabakh? Yeah. How it looks like? What is the problem? What I can do, what I feel, and who is Gala who's talking on the other line?
Yeah.
And we can hear that.
No, you're saying an awful lot, because that imagination is gone, because everything is being, you're being bombarded with images, and every image is a quick one, And you watch news on TV, they don't give more than a half a minute, at the most, 15 seconds.
Exactly.
For major things. Okay, there's bombing in Syria, and this has happened, and then right away, so-and-so hit a basketball, threw a basketball. So what? It's like there's no coordination. A coordination of activities.
Mm.
And so when you're talking on a thing like this, it's much like a book. You read the book and
exactly.
You get your
exactly.
mind stimulated
exactly.
to
like
think,
that.
What is that image that the author is describing?
And then the good thing about that is people are concentrated on what you are talking about. They're not concentrated on yourself. They're
right.
not concentrated on what's on you, how you were.
So you've lost
ego.
Yes.
Well, yeah, what's an appearance of you? They're just listening what's coming out of you.
That's true.
And
that's
they're just true. Listening your mind, your thoughts, your soul, and your heart. That's
well,
it.
Well, that tomorrow we have on our schedule, we're going to be doing a TV interview. So now I think, I think you've made the case that we should just do another one of these. But no, you give us a lot to think about. Absolutely. And you're just a delight to have with us. You were like 4 years ago, and I'm just so glad that you came back and you're visiting us. I want to let our listeners know that, listen in, and we're going to be streaming your presentation in a couple weeks. I'm sure a lot of people will want to watch that, and they'll have a chance to participate by asking questions and commenting. And all I could do is just wish you all the best. You're in our prayers all the time, and may God give you the strength to continue to do this, really God's mission, to help these children, to help these people that are out there.
Thank you very much, Dr. Vasquez. It's a pleasure to meet you and see you again, and really thank God for meeting people like you.
Next time in Karabakh, okay?
Okay.
In Artsakh.
In Artsakh.
We had this discussion last night. I have to tell our listeners, too, that for the last... And my listeners know that I always referred to it as Artsakh. But for the last year, it's been like Karabakh. And we had this... It's like some people are getting stoned out there. What's going on? Well, our listeners know about my studio problems,
yeah.
too. But... it is Artsakh, and we'll always refer to it like that, right?
Yeah, and let it be Artsakh forever.
Very good. A good note to end it on.
Yeah,
God
great.
Bless. Take care.
God bless. Thank you.
Esi fantastic mi bane. What'd you think? Quite impressive, isn't it? Just an incredible young lady who's doing some incredible work. We'll have a link on our show notes today to the Halo Trust. Do check them out. And within the next couple weeks, she's going to be speaking at different venues here in the Southern California area. But most notably, I want to invite you to the one that's going to be done at our church, at our Youth Ministry Center, because that one we will be streaming. And I know a lot of you will want to get some more information. You will be able to follow along with a live stream. We'll be on our Ustream channel and under the Questions in Faith. Anyway, the best way is to just follow us on Facebook, on our Twitter account, or at our website at epostle.net. We'll have the date. It's most likely it's going to be on St. Paddy's Day on March 17th, a Sunday afternoon here, Pacific time. That gives you time over there on the European continent to join us in the evening on that Sunday. That'll be coming up. Right now we have coming up Anush with her Pomegranate Seeds, and I'll be right back right afterwards.
the right, the left, and a new look at direction. Today was election day. We voted for city officials. It's always amazing to me how much junk mail is generated at election time. Most of the time, I don't even look at it. It goes from the mailbox to the trash can. But all that junk mail and the phone calls to vote for this person or that person got me to thinking about my own views, not political, but spiritual. And I started thinking about the left, the right, and what makes them so. One of the groups I follow on Facebook is called the Christian Left. I can't say that I always agree with them, but for the most part, we are aligned in our belief that Christ and his teachings are all about love and compassion. So what makes them the left? We tend to think of the left as being more liberal and the right as being more conservative. I even sent off an email to my brother and I said, "We are the AOL, the Armenian Orthodox Left," because at our church, our many ministries focus on a more holistic outreach rather than the usual ethnocentric views of the Armenian churches. The left side tends to be more rebellious and radical in their ideas, traditionally sharing and distributing the wealth more among the needy, while the right is more set in their ways, more about growing business and wealth and holding on to it. And then there's the Christian right. They're the ones that give the rest of us Christians a bad name. They're the ones that judge, even when we were told, "Judge not, lest ye be judged," and they have a lot of hatred in them when they condemn those that are different from themselves. And so what they're successful in doing is drawing people further and further away from Christ's teachings in the name of religion. The way that I defend my faith when I explain their actions is by telling someone who asked my opinion in comparison to theirs, "Their Jesus is not my Jesus." I mean, seriously, we believe that God is love. Christ is love incarnate. So what Christ is commanding us to do is what our God is commanding us. It's not just some guy off the street telling us that we should love one another and care for one another. That's God talking and telling us that that's what we should do. And if God said it, then that's good enough for me. Okay, so now here's where it gets tricky. So as an Orthodox Christian, I adhere to the teachings of Christ. We follow the rules of our faith, what I like to call applied Christianity. We believe that Christ is love incarnate. To follow his teachings is to follow a path of love and compassion. We follow the fasting traditions, the dietary restrictions of our faith. We feed and clothe the needy, and we take care of those that are suffering. So if the right is traditionally the ones that are supposedly conservative, then shouldn't we be more aligned with the right? It seems that it all got jumbled up somewhere. The extremists should be on the left, as they've taken the tenets of Christianity and rewritten it to their own liking. And then those of us that believe in the true message of Christ are just practicing what he preached: love one another and take care of one another. So forget what I said about calling ourselves the AOL. I think we should be known as the OAR, the Orthodox Armenian Rite, just paddling through the flotsam in the sea of life. We should strive to live our faith through actions as Christ taught. We are not so much conservative as we are traditionalists. Traditionally, our Christ was free-thinking, a nonviolent revolutionary, non-condemning, loving, compassionate, and forgiving. Those are the qualities that I want to work on in my spiritual path. So there it is, something to think about. New definitions in direction. It seems to me that what was left is now right, and what was right is, well, just wrong. This is Anush wishing you a pomegranate day filled with hope and ripe with possibilities.
Whoa, where are we going to go with this one? That should be interesting. I'd love to hear from you on that one. I think I will hear from you on that one, right? Right is wrong, and wrong is right, and there's a left and a right. You know what? It did conjure up some memories for me back in the 1980s. You know, I've shared with you the story about the first Armenian acolyte, the woman who was ordained back in 1984 by Archbishop Vachov Sepian, and it was at my parish. And, you know, after that event, we went around and we talked at many, many different places and many churches, and people would come up invariably and say, oh, well, you guys are radicals. You guys are on the left. You guys are doing some radical reforms for the church. And the answer would be no. We're actually very traditional. Women have served in the church in various capacities, and we're just basically traditionalists, bringing the church back to its roots. That's all in perception, isn't it? Huh? How you could, well, I don't want to say spin it, but there are important spins that need to be made. How about that? Speaking of spin, here is Susie to tell you how you could spin with us. That's a nice transition.
Before getting back to the next step with Father Vodskin, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this ministry is supported through the heartfelt donations of listeners like you. Thanks for keeping us in your prayers and partnering with this expanding and dynamic outreach. We are now in the fifth year of broadcasting and heard on six continents. The next step is entering homes and communities proclaiming God's message of love, forgiveness, and compassion. Please consider partnering in this dynamic ministry by making a contribution today. By pressing on the donate button on our website, you can set up automatic donations, either weekly, monthly, or annually. Your donation goes a long way in furthering this ministry. Even more, tell your friends and family by sharing the Next Step link or website with them. We're on iTunes, Blueberry, Stitcher Radio, as well as Facebook and Twitter. There's even an app for your smartphone. We look forward to your participation and words of encouragement. Write to us 24/7 at feedback@epostle.net. This is Susie wishing you all of God's blessings in your life. We now return to the next step with Father Vodskin.
Thank you, Susie, for that reminder. And it's an important reminder because this work is important. You know, as I'm going around and talking to so many people and getting emails, people coming around. Last night, in fact, it was interesting. We had two guests from Karabakh, from Artsakh last night. It was very, very interesting for me because our main speaker was from Karabakh. And we had somebody who was made aware of the In His Shoes program. And him and his wife, they were traveling to the United States, and they were en route from Oregon down to San Diego, and definitely wanted to stop by and hear what we had to say, wanted to come by and meet with the In His Shoes family, meet with what we're doing at Epostle. And it's really wild, all the different places that people are connecting and finding out about this movement, about bringing relevancy to an ancient institution. You know, we talk about Armodoxy. It is so important to understand that it's just basically Armenian Orthodoxy polished up for today. Well, because there are needs today. There are demands on us today, right? We're going through incredible financial pressures. We are living in a technology age where everything is pushed up to light speed. It is causing extra anxiety, and the church can't be back, you know, 1700 years ago. It has to be there right now. Why? You say, well, no, we can't change it. No, you have to. Jesus changed, right? He changed from one place to the next place. He went from room to room, from city to city, and each place he spoke the language. He spoke to the times of the people. The body of Christ, the church, needs to be relevant right now, today. It needs to speak to the times. Why? Because Jesus spoke to the times. Now, you take about, listen to what we listened to just a few minutes ago, okay? This beautiful interview about the Halo Trust. Now, don't you think that that is a church project? If there were landmines and there were children around Jesus, where do you think he would be? Do you think he'd go hide someplace? Do you think he'd close his eyes and say, oh, no, that can't happen? Or do you think he'd be right out there picking up the kids, picking up the minds, and helping people, helping humanity? That's what the church is all about, and we are called to that mission. That is what relevance is all about. You look at the world right now, what's going on right now. To me, when we did the interview with Gala, the more important questions came up in my head. What am I doing to prevent incidents like this from happening in the future? Are we bringing about peace? I mean, just think about it. What we're doing is we're going around from country to country, dropping these landmines, and then we walk away. And we say, okay, the war is finished. No, these wars continue. Casualties continue. And whose hands is it going to be in if not our own? We need to take that responsibility. And so that's the call, really. And that's what we're doing through Armadoxy, through Apostle. When you support this ministry, we're saying that, hey, this ancient tradition, Armenian Orthodoxy, the ancient Armenian church, has had value in the past. And here's the proof of it. Hey, you look around, there's no other people without any military power. Listen to this. There's no military power, there's been no bombs, there's been no military strategy, and yet the Armenian people have been able to keep themselves not only alive, but have been able to create their future. Now, what is this if not the power of love, the power of God? Okay, let's get this message out. Let's tell people they don't need guns, they don't need weapons. They don't need to destroy. They don't need to have wars. They don't need to have genocide. And you want to look at an example? Well, there is an example in the past. It's called the body of Christ. It's the body of Christ as articulated through Armenian Orthodoxy. We've seen that. And you have a chance to connect to it. That's what this mission is all about. So I invite you for your prayers. I invite you with your love, with your contribution, with your support to make this a ministry that is ours. Well, we are at the end of today's show. Thank you for joining us, and do check out the show notes for all of the links to what we've talked about today. I want to thank you for joining us all the time on our web pages, on Facebook, on Twitter, following us. You'll get all the information, and of course, the mothershipinissues.org. We're stepping up things at Dativ Outreach. A lot of great things happening right now. And do follow us on the daily Lenten journey, because each one of them is produced every single day. They're being written, transcribed, and they are there for you. It's just for the download. It's just for going there and sharing it. And do share it with people, okay? Hey, listen, for the wonderful crew who put today's show together, for Susie, our producer, for Vahe, our webman, for Anush with her pomegranate seeds, this is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
We trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week. And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.